Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. Batwoman premieres Sunday, October 6th at 8, 7 central, and Nancy Drew premieres Wednesday, October 9th at 9, 8 central. Or stream both next day free on the CW app.
Who plays Nancy Drew?
Kennedy McCann.
Ooh, I love when someone's name sounds like one of the titles of our episodes.
You will trailer. Yo, they wanna know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I have a problem.
What? Your okay. Foot?
Well, here's the thing. I was like, do I open this episode talking about Demi Lovato revealing she got baptized in the Jordan River on a trip to Israel, saying I've never felt more renewed? Or do I open the episode by saying my foot really hurts because a lamp fell on it and it sliced it open yesterday?
Talking about your foot getting sliced open is more of a Patreon conversation.
That's true.
So I feel like, honestly, with respect to our Patreon friends, you should save it for them.
Personal injury and emotional trauma is really saved
for specifically Patreon. Yours.
Okay, well then, we're going to talk about someone else's personal growth and emotional fulfillment. That person is Demi Lovato. She was just in the Jordan River.
She got baptized.
What we are told in Sunday school, you know, what's wrong with being confident? Nothing, so get baptized.
What's wrong with being baptized in the river?
Demi Lovato could easily just suddenly become a gospel singer if she wanted to and not even have to change her repertoire.
I would still listen to her.
I brought this up because the Kanye West album I was reading about, it was the...
The one that's like supposed to be out, but it's not out yet?
Yes. Joe Coscarelli wrote about it yesterday, and he was like, it's funny that no one really seems to be paying attention, and it's funny that this thing keeps being teased by him and Kim, and like it's still not out. And also, it's funny that he doesn't swear in it. There's no cursing in it.
Mm.
And he said that a lot of the songs were previously recorded material that were like more traditional Kanye songs that included profanity and definitely not about God, and he just rewrote them to be about God.
Incredible.
Demi could do that.
Well, that's what they were doing at their church Sundays. They'd do a Kanye song, but it would be about God instead of about whoever he wrote it about originally. They would change the words. So it's almost like a kids bop, but God, you know? Right? Like this new Kanye. It's Kanye kids bop, but God.
What was that horrible kids bop that Avril
Lizzo?
Lizzo.
I'm 100% that girl, or like whatever. I'm that kid. They say that kid.
That kid. It's that kid. Oh my God. I'm going to put that here. Why are you great? So you got to be great. Ooh. I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that kid. Even when I'm crying crazy. Yeah, I got some problems. That's the human in me. Bling, bling. Then I saw them. That's the goddess in me. You could have. Let's talk about one more piece of kind of nightmare news before we get into this episode of Who's There, which is our weekly call-in show. You can call 619-WHO-THEM and leave us questions, comments, and concerns, and we will listen to them. Oh my God, we got some good off-the-record calls this week.
I know. We can't play them, though.
We can't play them, but again, we love getting them.
True.
But before we get into that, let's talk about Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin's wedding, because we got to get it out of the way.
I feel like, should we save this for next week now? I'm like, should we save it for next week and just get into this episode?
Okay, maybe we'll save it for next week.
You know?
Should we save it for next week?
Yeah
let's save it for next week. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
What is the first comment? Because we start with comments. How does my voice sound? Does my voice sound okay?
You're up in your register. You've been in a higher register.
Yeah, well, we had kind of a giggle fit before recording. so I'm hype.
Play the comment.
Okay, play the comment. Here we go.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. Pausing today's episode right after the John Stamos little section because, so admittedly, I am an adult Disney fan, and I don't think it's that weird to have a big Disneyland D in your backyard. Like, if I had the money, I would probably, in a backyard, I would do the same thing. But what I do think is weird about this scenario, and if I'm correct, so John Stamos and Rebecca Romijn went on like their first date to Disneyland, and so he got the D from an auction, like for her, basically. So initially he gave the D to Rebecca Romijn for years while, you know, they were married and whatnot, and now the D belongs to his new wife. So I think that's the weirdest thing of this whole scenario, is that it's like this leftover D. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I feel like I feel like that's what I've heard. I'm not going to look it up, but anyways, Good Form, Bella Thorne, ScarJo, Yummy Pop, Crunch Crunch, Women Belong in Balloons.
Bye. We got
too many. There are too many sign-offs. I'm sorry. It was like she sounded miserable going through all of them.
I like when somebody does all of them and they're like, this sucks. Like, why am I doing this? They like hear themselves midway through balloons and they're like, oh no. We got calls from Disney.
Calls out the ass.
Disney fans. We got calls from people saying it's normal to buy Big D's and put them in your backyard, which I, you know.
Look, one of our best friends is a Disney fan.
And I still
and
love her.
If she
her.
Had a backyard, she would put a Big D in it. We understand this. No judgment. But
somebody was like, I'm proud to be a big Disney fan. I sense that you guys are anti that lifestyle. I was like, we are just not, we just fully do not understand it, I think.
We are not anti the lifestyle. We're just not part of that lifestyle. Yeah. We don't live that lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes. And what's amazing about this update, which a few people gave us too, apparently David Copperfield owns a D. He's got a Big D.
I'm not surprised that David Copperfield has a Big D.
And also apparently John Stamos has been giving the D to everyone throughout his whole life because this Big D has been with him for a long time. Not just with this newest girl. He had his first date with Rebecca Romaine Stamos, formerly of Rebecca Romaine Stamos, at Disneyland 2 months later after they met at the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. And when they married in 1998, they bought the sign for $30,000.
It's one thing to, like, our friend who loves Disney, we're like, okay, that's an endearing part of your life. But it's just like, when it's a celebrity, it's a little weird, I think.
It humanizes them
in a way that I'm not comfortable with.
I just think it's funny that people are like, that Big D in his backyard, very normal. Like, that's like, I would have that. Also, everyone has that D. Like, everyone knows a D is there. Like, you can get the D, whatever.
That D that you can see from the International Space Station, fine. Why are you talking about this?
I just love
literally like some Russian astronaut is eating his space food, looking down at the D, and he's like, oh, we've completed another orbit.
I'm shocked that this D is left over. It's literally inherited D. Like, it is not even...
It's offensive. And the new wife, whose name I already forgot, Kaylin not look up right now.
Kaylin McHugh.
Kaylin
McHugh or something.
She should have been like, absolutely not. You know I love Disney, but you have to get rid of this D. You can get me an identical D, but I will not have this D that is tainted with the love of Rebecca Romaine. Okay?
It's true, though. It's like... It's truly.
It shows
like,
a little. It does show. I will. No, actually, you know what? I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. It shows
you
a
are.
Sort of a maturity, though, that maybe I do respect Kaylin and me. I respect Kaylin me.
Oh, she. You're saying she's mature, Kaylin.
I respect
you.
Her.
She's Kaylin McHugh.
He was probably like, baby, I'll get you a new D. I'll get you another Big D. Have mercy on my D. And she's like, babe, I know that you moved on. I'm your future now. She's your past. It's fine.
And yet they both were Disney heads. Weird that we didn't know that.
Wow, I've done my 180. I love that they have this old D.
I mean,
I feel like it says good, promising things about their relationship.
Old D's can learn new tricks, you know? And you say I never know them, but I knew that one.
You rarely know them, but you got that
old
one.
Old D's can learn new tricks. Can we move on, please?
Next call.
Hi, Lacey and Bobby. This is Jamie. I'm just calling to tell you about another good settlement between a WHO and a business. The Postal Service, the supergroup van, was in a lawsuit with the United States Postal Service at the height of their popularity. And eventually, the lawsuit was dropped in exchange for the Postal Service van doing a performance for the Postal Service mail system. And also, the USPS website was selling the CD for the Postal Service band in their web store as part of the settlement. Me and Greece.
Such a good call by Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
I didn't know this.
This is really funny. So They released the Postal Service this album because they recorded the album like back and forth in the mail.
Yeah.
And, like Jamie said, they're a super group. Like the Postal Service isn't a real, it was just like these, it was Ben Gibbard and his friend. They sent their tapes, CDs back and forth in the mail. Then it was an album. They call it the Postal Service because they sent it to the Postal Service. The Postal Service sent them a cease and desist that was like, we're the Postal Service and we have a trademark. And they were like, oh no, what are we going to do? And they were like, here's a deal. And the deal was as Jamie
like
said it was.
I like that the Postal Service gave them a deal that is as like friendly as I imagine like dealings on at the Postal Service go. They're like, well, I guess we don't need any money, but what we would love was a performance. And then like there all these Postal Service carriers and like people at like HQ are getting like the Postal Service performing them. And they're like, we don't want like, what is this? Like, no, thank you.
I'm trying to think of like every Postal Service song that like, well, you know, there's Such Great Heights, which is poppin', could easily be a good like Postal Service commercial song from the early 2000s that would make sense.
You would want like, for a jingle?
Yeah, like a jingle. Then it's playing Such Great Heights and you see like the Postal Service planes flying and they're waving.
Yeah, I mean, they
something.
Do go through Such Great Heights to get you your mail.
Yeah, and then, but then they could do like sad ones. What do you think the best Postal Service song would be for a Postal Service jingle in the year 2019 when the Postal Service is kind of like wobbly, it's like on wobbly legs?
Well, Such Great Heights could keep its name and it could be about like how the Postal Service goes through Such Great Heights to like get you your mail. Also, you know, like that could be one.
Mm-hmm.
How about like Brand New Colony could like be rewritten to be about like efficiency or something? Maybe nothing better and maybe nothing better parentheses than getting your mail parentheses. Right? Don't you think that'd be good? Nothing better parentheses than getting your mail parentheses. That song starts, would somebody please call a surgeon who can crack my ribs or repair this broken heart? That you're deserting for better company. Ooh, that you're deserting for a better company. Like Postal Service. The Postal Service.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. What about Recycled Air? It could be like a love song. To the Postal Service,
okay.
From the Postal Service, where it's like the Postal Service in bed with the U.S. Postal Service, and they're so in love and they're really happy, and
okay.
They just like stay under the sheets, breathing recycled air because they're in love.
Okay, well that's the like, actual song, but it's you've made
it's
it
like
about
I love
the Postal
no, I know you wouldn't have to change the lyrics. I love the Postal Service so much that I'm willing to like snuggle with them and spoon them in the sheets.
I think it should be Brand New Colony, but it's about when the Postal Service, it's about using the Postal, we all use the Postal Service.
If the Postal Service did more ads for the Postal Service right now, you bet your ass Zooey Deschanel and Jonathan Scott would suddenly start doing ads for like FedEx.
Yeah, they'd get the like, because their competition would go to them and they'd be like, this is hot right now, we're not sure why, but like we need you guys. You're the only two other ones who resemble the Postal Service for this ad, because this ad would be huge. Huge.
I'd start using the Postal Service again.
You use it. You don't use
I
it.
I love the Postal Service. Well, I don't go to the post office. I go to the third-party post office because the actual post office sucks.
Right.
You gotta go to a third-party post office.
Stop.
The U.S. Postal Service offices are terrible.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
We have to move on.
Hey guys, long time, live in Massachusetts. So a little bit more about the Ben Shattuck family, who actually are very, very rich and they live in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, not in the woods. And he's the curator for his mother's gallery. And he's also is, you know, a writer and painter and very talented, but Jenny Slate's definitely not going to be slumming it in the woods with him. His family probably has more money than hers. So good job, Jenny Slate. Thanks. Bye.
I always assume that art people have some money.
It's obvious in hindsight. Like, you know, it's one of, we live in a society where you got to be rich if you're going to devote yourself to art and kind of get by okay, you know?
Well, I'm going to spin this to be like, I think people are like, he's rich, so like that's whatever, like it's bad or something. Like, but my take on it is that it's really good for their relationship, because when you are famous and you make your and you make money and you're doing really well, you don't want somebody to like use you necessarily.
Exactly.
Or and so by him having his own money, it actually makes their relationship like make more sense to me, even though like obviously that's not why.
Which can explain a lot of celebrity relationships. Like, they want to date someone who's not a celebrity, right? Because that's too much.
But they don't also want
to date someone who's independently rich, so they don't have to worry about mooching.
Exactly.
So you go to the art world.
And I didn't think like they were going to like live in the woods. I mean, that island, Cuddy Hunk, has like 10 people living on it total. Like, Jenny Slate gave like the commencement speech for like one woman's
high school graduation or whatever.
So obviously, you know, they probably...
I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
We got a... anonymous source, a very friendly source of ours, said, texted us that Ben Shattuck's family is so rich that even his that his parents didn't even work. Like, it's old money that has been in his family.
Yeah,
it's old money.
And,
good,
you know,
for Jenny Slate.
If you have a lot of money, doing art is not the worst thing you could do with it. So, you know, I'm not like too mad at the Shattuck family or whatever.
Right? Next call. I mean, there shouldn't be billionaires, but let's maybe.
No, but I mean, like, if you have all this money, doing art stuff is like the, you know,
they're doing good stuff.
That's pretty harmless, you know.
Yeah, he's supporting Jenny Slate. Whatever.
Supporting Jenny Slate's career, yeah, totally. Okay, next.
Let's move on to questions. Ooh, questions.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby, this is your deranged listener who keeps calling about the Masked Singer. Unfortunately, I am not calling to talk about her today. But I recently saw that the UK is doing a celebrity edition of X Factor. I'm just a little confused because I looked at the list of celebrities and the only people I could identify were Kevin McHale, who played Artie on Glee, David Hasselhoff's daughter, and Ricky Lake, who already proved that she could sort of sing when she lost The Masked Singer. Wasn't really sure if these were people trying to prove that they can sing or people who are already established singers just trying to make some publicity for themselves. Just wanted to know your thoughts. Crunch, crunch. Women do belong in balloons.
This is a very strange thing that's happening, but a really good idea, and America should take it immediately.
It's so strange.
It is the X Factor, as we all know and love the X Factor. But it's celebrities and they're singing.
I mean, we always do celebrity. We always end up putting celebrities on our reality shows. Like, if we have a reality show, we're like, celebrity reality show, you know?
Yeah, but
I think celebrity,
when they're on Big Brother House, they're just sort of behaving in the way we expect them to behave, right? They're not, like, doing anything.
Well, they have...
When they're dancing, they're not... you're just, like, a body, right? Like, we see all these people dance. It's not necessarily like, wow, what... I'm impressed by their skill.
I
They're just learning a very specific thing.
Say is that singing is more of like an innate ability. And
yeah, there's more of a talent there.
Is that there could be a hidden singer in a celebrity.
A masked singer.
Well, sure. But like actually somebody who doesn't realize that they're or who knows that they're a good singer, but hasn't quite been famous for it. Who's always been like done. Because like, being on The Masked Singer and then this, like Ricky Lake is, it means that Ricky Lake really thinks that she can
wants
sing.
Wants to sing.
And
yes.
is like, I want to sing. So.
And I think that there's more vulnerability to singing in front of an audience than there is like to dancing, you know? Also,
I don't know.
Like,
I mean.
It's more exciting to see like, oh, Martin Bashir is going to dance, whatever. Martin Bashir is going to sing. I want to hear his voice.
Well,
you know?
It's also one of those things where for Dancing with the Stars, you can kind of predict who might do well. You're like, oh, they're athletic. Like, they'll learn the choreography really fast and they're able to like pick up on the like subtleties of dance. Mm-hmm. But for X Factor, for singing, you really have no idea who's going to do well. Like, it's just not... I'm surprised this is this because the X Factor is like originally from the UK that they're getting it before us, like X Factor Celebrity?
That's my
guess.
They
have better celebrities
than
we do, let's be honest.
Any sort of adjustments to the formula have to happen in the home country, you know, the home market.
Right.
And then if it works, then it'll like start expanding across all the other markets.
Also, apparently it's just replacing X Factor, like completely.
They'd done this before, I guess. It says... in 2006, the X Factor Battle of the Stars featured contestants Chris Moyles, Paul Daniels, and Debbie McGee. I don't know who any of those people are. And they haven't done it in 13 years, so this is a big deal.
So this
Let's
year,
go through who they are.
So they have a bunch of people from Love Island, which I'm obsessed with, including the guy who's dating Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna's daughter, I.L. Booker, and Zara McDermott, who we've talked about a lot before. Remember, she used to date someone, Wes Nelson. He's was on the season I saw. And then Samara Mighty, who was also on a season that I saw. I'm telling you, these people, they like float in and out of your brain. Like, I forget. We've talked about each of them, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not include the girl who stole the hamster.
No, she would never be allowed on this. No, she also doesn't want to sing.
So they're going to be, what's weird is that they're going to be a super group. So like, these aren't even people separately. They don't even let them go on the show separately. They're like, if you want to go on the show, you have to be in a group, which is.
Yeah, because that's how. That's how X Factor works, because some people are soloists, some people are group. Like, that's how Little
Mix came
about.
But then they
group
them up.
Because they run the X Factor.
Then we have Colin Edwards, who are they? They're from...
One of them is an actor.
Right. One is Strictly Come Dancing dancer, and one has been on Hollyoaks. So a dancer and an actor.
Cool,
and then we have Max and Henry, who we've talked about before. Remember them?
I think we may have cut talking about Max and Henry. Really? I hope we did.
I'm not sure. They're the musically identical twins.
They were musically
who became famous in literally 2015 and then never again. And they have their own CBBC show. What the f... They have a CBBC show?
So they clearly want to be like famous. They want to pivot into singing. Okay, fine.
Then we have my favorite part.
A super group
my
of influencers.
My favorite group is just like five women from Instagram.
They're calling themselves V5.
V5, influencer and bloggers. Sophia, Alondra, Laura, Wendy, Natalie. Like, literally no last names on here. We have no clue who these women could be.
You don't need them. When you're a super group, the first name speaks for themselves.
Right.
Speaks for
itself. This is a little bit disturbing because it is. I don't recognize any of them. Do you?
No.
Okay.
Then you have three extremely hunky rugby players.
So hunky.
Who are calling themselves TriStar. Too hunky, can't even, how is this even going to work?
Too hot.
It's too
They're
hunky.
So hot. Okay, moving on, we have Ricky
A
Lake.
Hunky rugby player? then you have, this was really funny, the overs and the unders.
I know.
What does that mean?
I think it's like, I don't know.
Like older people and younger people? Is that what it means?
Maybe. Well, maybe, because that's how it's actually split up.
So then you have the soloists, and they're the older soloists who are Ricky Lake, who we all know and love, or who we all know.
From
then
the Masked Singer.
Jenny Ryan, who's the only one who gets AKA the Vix. She's the only one who gets AKA. But there's Jenny Ryan, who is like a famous talk show host in the UK, apparently.
She's a she's a master TV quizzer. Yeah, see, that's like so British.
That's so UK.
Yeah.
Those quiz shows.
She was
then
on the Weakest Link, which we did have in the United States. Martin Bashir is the most wild one here. Never forget him.
I would say best known for in the U.S. for interviewing Michael Jackson.
Yes, no, obviously the iconic Michael Jackson interview where he's like, Martin, I'm in a tree. You know, remember that whole scene?
Yes, of course. And then there's Victoria Ekinoye, who I had never heard of, but she's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And then there are the young people. Let's save the best for last. Megan McKenna. Whose face I recognize. She's sort of an Ellie Goulding-esque face.
Only way is
but
Essex.
She is a reality star.
X on the Beach. Then we
Hayley
have
Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff's daughter.
Yes.
Who really? Does she do stuff? Because this bio is weak.
It says best known for her role in ABC Family's Huge. It's like, bitch, she's best known for being David Hasselhoff's daughter.
Well, true.
Okay.
Then we have a soap star named Laby. Johnny Laby. Mm-hmm. Johnny Laby.
And then there's Kevin McHale.
Why is
Bleak?
Kevin McHale doing? He can sing.
He's like still releasing music. I just interviewed him for the Netflix podcast.
I know. So he's really desperate to broaden.
I think he's very dedicated to this like new stage in his singing career.
Right, because he released songs and he did videos where he was like sexy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a sexy singer now.
It's already got hot, you know?
But I gotta say, like, it's very smart to like try and like internationalize yourself. So like could open up a lot of doors
I think this could work for him.
Like if
but
he
then
wins
the last
this,
person here,
he could tour the UK whenever. And then the last person,
Jesse J wishes. He and Jesse J, biggest stars in
countries
any hemisphere
that have never heard of them.
They're the biggest stars in any hemisphere that doesn't include the United States.
Okay.
Go for it.
Olivia Olson, who at first might not recognize, but at maybe fifth glance if you're Bobby, you'd be like, whoa, is that the girl from Love Actually? And the answer is yes, it is.
And I know saying the girl from Love Actually is hard because there's 100,000 girls in Love Actually, but I mean literally the young girl in Love Actually who sings All I Want for Christmas Is You and falls in love with...
Oh my God, she's going to sing it.
The guy who ended up being in Game of Thrones.
Yes, she's going to sing that song.
Of course she is.
She's going to sing it.
I always hated her rendition of All I Want for Christmas Is You in that movie.
Wow.
Because she's trying too hard. You can tell she has like a very good voice. But
right,
she's
no,
doing
kid stars always get that.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. I'm going to try and watch this. I'm not sure how, but I'm going to try and watch this. At least one episode.
There's always a way. There's always a way. Next call.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up. And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hi guys, long time. I'm calling to let you know that apparently Erica Mena and Safari are pregnant, so I really want you guys to talk about this, even though you guys never talk about Black Coos, because this couple is so funny to me, because nobody thought that they were ever going to last this long. Everybody thought it was literally just a couple for Love and Hip Hop, but now they're getting married, and apparently they're having a baby. They're both most famous for being somebody's ex. Please talk about them. They're so weird. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
I think we talk about Black Who's some, but we could definitely talk about Black Who's more.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the issue that here is that we don't watch Love and Hip Hop. And I think we talked about these two getting together maybe when there was like drama with their exes. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it got cut. Was it boring? I don't remember.
If we don't remember it, we usually cut it.
But the thing is that these two people thought like we're never going to last. Safari is Nicki's ex, like longtime ex that people were like, he wrote her raps, like TBD. I don't know if that ends up being true.
And then shitting on him.
And then Eric Mina.
I'm shitting on him.
You love that.
Safari Samuels, eternally iconic for writing a song about shitting on him.
But like, did he? He was always the producer, like a co-writer on her song. He
co-wrote so many of her songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote shitting on him, you think?
That's official. That's an official
credit.
Really? Yeah.
And Erica Mena's funny because it's like you look up to see what she's known for, and she's known for Love and Hip Hop. But I'm like, how did she get on Love and Hip Hop? And the answer is like, just she was a model. Like she was in music videos and stuff. She was a music video person.
Yeah. Love and Hip Hop is one of those shows that was never supposed to be this successful.
Yeah.
Was never supposed to be this successful. My little insider information of when I worked at VH1 and Love and Hip Hop premiered, they were like, we really don't want to do this anymore because they were trying to pivot away from reality.
I remember that.
They were trying to move into scripted.
I remember that.
And they were like, so this is all we have. We're just going to have this Love and Hip Hop. And then their scripted shows were flops, but everyone started flocking towards Love and Hip Hop. And they were like, God damn it. And then that woman, Mona, was there and she was like, oh, what? It was a success. And she was like, I can make 100 more of these.
Right,
and
like,
they were
like, give me fine. A gajillion dollars.
Fine.
Yeah, no.
So Love and Hip Hop is this thing that like it's VH1 so never expected to be as popular as it was. And then it was, and they were like, well, we didn't get the pivot we wanted, but this works for us. Let's just make 100 of them.
It's fucked up that they were going to do that. Like, they were like, our audience loves this shit, so we're going to take it away from them to make shit that we think that we want to be known for. Like,
well,
it was
they,
fucked up.
They were trying to catch up with, like, the early golden age of television where they were like, everyone's doing scripted now. Reality right. is over. But reality's never going to be over, you know? It's too cheap.
Right. And also, like, Mona Scott's a genius. Like, let yes. her, like, let her flex. Like, let her do what she wants. This is interesting to me because Safaree Samuels is Nicki Minaj's longtime ex, and he's getting pregnant before she is.
Wow, that's rude.
Kind of interesting. I'm sorry, but, like, you know, that's her whole thing right now is, like, I'm retiring to have a family. And, like, he swoops mm-hmm. in as, like, I'm pregnant. You know, like, very. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's a little shady. It's a little shady.
So they're engaged. There's a let me play this. Click this video here. It's really, really funny.
The Shade Room video. Yeah.
Watch how many times he rubs her stomach. I'm gonna play the audio.
It's a big deal. Very big deal. I didn't know I was capable of doing this, but I'm excited.
Do I look fat?
I can't believe how slim your face still is.
Thank you. But do I look fat? I just
no.
said thank you.
Your stomach is just round.
He's learning, guys.
He keeps talking about how his dogs are giving, how his dogs give birth. But she's like, he doesn't know the difference between a baby's birth and a dog's birth. They like seem like they're a cute couple, to be honest. A lot of people thought they were together for like clout. This, I think, is kind of changing people or they're swaying them.
I mean, like any reality show, Love and Hip Hop is like notorious for inventing drama for the sake of its show.
Yeah.
And I would say even more so than Real Housewives, Love and Hip Hop is openly very into this.
Yes.
Like all that stuff with Jocelyn and Stevie J.
Mm-hmm.
Like Stevie J, all that drama, like all that seemed extremely manufactured. So the moment you throw a baby into the mix, you're like, oh, wait. Like anyone can get engaged. Anyone can get married because you can just get divorced. But a baby like really throws the anchor down, you know? You're like, oh, okay.
She used to date Bow Wow. I think that's like how when she was on first was on the show, she was dating mm-hmm. Bow Wow or with Bow Wow.
My favorite thing that I found, because they weren't really together all that long before they got engaged. As far as I can tell, they really only started dating in 2018, and then it was on the show, and then they got engaged in December of 2018. But when the rumors were first coming out, it was like Erica Mena and Safaree Samuels are rumored to be dating. And there's this story from In Touch that says Erica Mena fuels rumors that she's dating Safaree Samuels with new PDA snap. And I was like, what's this PDA snap that is fueling rumors that they're dating? Because like, what could this possibly be?
Right.
And this is the PDA snap, Lindsay. I'm texting it to you. Okay. Could they be dating, Lindsay? If you saw this, would you be like, are they dating?
Oh my God. No, they look like they're just friends.
It's Safaree in a pool holding her, Erica, like she's straddling him, like he's holding her up, and his hands are fully over her ass.
Like
just
on
like digging in there.
She's wearing a bathing suit, but like he's just got one hand on each cheek, and like the camera just sees him nuzzling into her neck and holding both her ass cheeks. So I feel like this is not two friends.
You can't get more confirmation than this.
Right. It's like,
and it was like, are right. they?
And apparently they're getting married next week and VH1 is going to be taping it, it seems. Obviously. Why wouldn't they?
And that's funny because you know what? It proves that people care more about the fucking Love and Hip Hop people than they do the fucking Bachelor people, because we just went through the whole thing where ABC is not interested in doing those weddings anymore because they don't get ratings. Guess which reality stars people actually care about?
Love and Hip Hop people. Stars. I mean, also like the Bachelor people are a little bit fleeting. They come and go. And these guys mm-hmm. have been around on this show for a long time, right?
This is serious. Look at the hands all over that ass. Okay. Imagine if like one of our friends, if we had a friend and they're like, I think like he's dating so-and-so. And it's like, well, how do you know that? And I sent you this picture and I was like, What do you think? And you're like, I don't know.
I don't think
maybe
they're dating.
I don't know.
It could go
Bobby,
either
that
way.
Doesn't prove anything. Bobby, you're speculating.
It could go either way, you know, even though this picture looks like they're literally about to have sex. I mean, I don't know if they're dating. Unclear. Unclear. Okay.
Next call. Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets. I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, yeah. I didn't. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah. You're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo poo or cat pee pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat. But doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy. Especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Who Weekly. I just need to know more about Lenny Kravitz's missing glasses. Has anyone emailed him? Did anyone find them? Did he get them back? Do we think that they're actually stolen? I don't know. I just think it's so funny that you made an email address for his glasses. So anyway, if you could find out more about that, I would love to know. All right. Crunch, crunch. Good form, Bell Thorne. Bye.
Did you see this?
What?
This
KravitzGlasses@gmail.com.
Yeah, so Lenny Kravitz tweeted, I'm missing a pair of sunglasses after my show in LA at the Shrine this weekend. They are incredibly sentimental to me. They are vintage and they belong to a family member. Hoping to get them back. No questions asked. Any information, please email KravitzGlasses@gmail.com. Like, this isn't funny at all until we get to KravitzGlasses@gmail.com. And also the fact that he definitely screenshotted like photos of himself on Getty, like wearing these glasses that he apparently wears a lot. I have not emailed that email. I feel like it's irresponsible of me to even discuss this because I haven't done my research.
I'll email it right now,
but
and then we'll see what happens.
I did, like, look around on Twitter to see if any stories were updated with him having found the glasses.
I looked, too. There's nothing.
There's nothing. Like, the glasses are still at large.
If those glasses are found, Lenny Kravitz is good enough on social media. He will let us know.
I want him to tell us. I want the update. I think about it, like, a good amount, you know? I'm like, oh, Lenny did Kravitz's Lenny find glasses. His glasses?
They're a who?
They're a who?
Lenny
glasses.
Kravitz them? Lenny Kravitz them, absolutely.
Lenny Kravitz them, no but question. These glasses are a who, and they're lost.
See, you responded, did you find them yet? You have a typo, Lindsay. Did you find them yet, Lenny?
I always typo. But I followed up because I had tweeted about it a few times, and then I just wanted to know, and no one's answering me. No one's answering me.
We just had hundreds of homes flooded here in Kingwood, Texas. Most people lost everything. And sunglasses are your biggest problem? Sorry, Charlie.
That's like what tweeting is like these days. So Lenny's Kravitz are missing. And I just wanted to remind everyone something about Lenny Kravitz is that remember when his D fell out of his pee?
Of course.
His D popped out of the pee. That was like
out of his leather pants.
That was the most crazy thing that we honestly did not care about enough. We like,
do you remember what year?
No, what year? 2015.
The forgotten year, 2015.
Was it because it was 2015?
The forgotten year. We're like, all this stuff happened and we didn't treasure it.
What
else? I don't know, because I forgot it.
Okay. It's funny that we were like, Lenny Kravitz, giant scarf. Ah! And then like his dick literally came out of his pants mid-performance. And everybody was like, moving on. You know, like, I know we cared a little, but we did not care enough. I mean,
the dick popped out. And he acknowledged the dick was there. He was like, it was a little cold today. Sorry.
His dick is pierced. It was like a true show that his dick
made.
Oh,
yeah. It had like a pierce.
A pierce on the top.
On the top, like above the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, he pierced the top. There are nude photos that are of Lenny Kravitz out there. He modeled for them. So you can see, if you want to like see the D, you can see the D.
Oh, that's good.
With his permission.
The D is there.
The photos. Like, they're not like illicit photos.
This isn't his Disney sign. This is his dick.
Just no, to confirm. Not the sign that he has of the D.
Lenny Kravitz's penis fell out of his pants.
Well, now that we
pants,
just keep calling everything the
not
D.
Not his giant Disneyland D. I feel like the listeners were confused until we have to let them know.
Unlike John Stamos, Lenny Kravitz is bringing the actual D versus the D in his backyard that belongs to a Disney sign from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, now we know.
Yeah, so never forget the time that Lenny Kravitz's D popped out of his pants mid-performance.
It was a funny little moment.
2015, the lost year.
He just crouched and they, like, how do pants rip like that? When pants rip, they rip on the butt.
They're incredible. These leather pants ripped right through the crotch and his D just fell out.
Did you see the interview with him after this happened? And they were like, did it teach you a lesson? And he's like, well, I'm not wearing underwear now, if that's your question. He's like, I'm still not going to start wearing underwear.
I know. It's like, even your D literally coming out in the most like storybook embarrassing way will not stop Lenny Kravitz from not wearing underwear.
Hi, I just called about fat furry Khalsa. Ignore it. Who cares? I actually Googled her a little bit just because I couldn't help myself. And the best headline is Brad Pitt and her sat together. So maybe they're dating as like a joke. That one's great. But I looked her up anyways, and you should read about her. She's very odd. I can't get into it and think about it all by myself right now, but fat furry Khalsa, a bit of a hole to fall into. Okay, crunch, crunch. Bye-bye.
Who is Brad Pitt's new maybe girlfriend, Sat Hari Khalsa? So let's just actually go back for one sec. The last time we thought Brad Pitt had a girlfriend, that MIT professor, it turned out that she was literally married. And then she was involved,
I'm back with my husband.
And then she was like, oops, I'm like involved with Jeffrey Epstein also. Like, yikes, 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 yikes. So Brad Pitt, I feel like, has this thing where he meets people and gets interested in their weird lives. And maybe that doesn't mean that they're actually dating, like this MIT professor.
Yeah.
You know, that weird, we all thought.
Like women, artsy, smart, beauty and brains women.
The original Beauty and Brains.
Yeah, I think Neri Oxman was the original Beauty and Brains.
She really
yes.
was. She was.
So Sat Hari Khalsa is the latest Beauty and Brains. Actually, brains.
She's actually,
brains are,
she's
brains
actually
are unclear.
Beauty and spirituality.
Beauty and what is it? Beauty and soul.
Beauty and soul.
Beauty and soul.
Sure.
Sat Hari Khalsa is a jewelry designer.
I can't. Like, this woman is actually out of her mind. Like, I love her. I love her in a good
and
way.
And it says she's a spiritual guru, and I did my best to research, like, her spiritual guru practice, because, you know, when you have to search, because she was first seen with him in 2018, so I was like, okay, I have to search Google for her pre-September 2018 for, like, instances of her life,
like, before,
that don't involve Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And there's very little. Like, I haven't really even seen much to back up the fact that she's a spiritual guru, and if she is, she's not, like, public-facing. Maybe she does it privately. You have to know someone to, like, get involved with her as a spiritual guru or, like, whatever, a holistic healer. Couldn't find anything about that.
She kind of reminds me of, like, of a woman who went to India once and then, like, came back and was like, here we go, you know.
But she went to India once, but she stayed there a really long time, and she went there as a kid.
Okay.
Because guess what, Sadhari Khalsa's name is probably something like
Lindsay Weber,
know, Jessica McCartney.
Yes.
This woman is straight up from Massa fucking Shoes.
No, I know. So her name's like Deborah or something like that, you know?
Deborah McDonald.
She's Deborah McDonald. Deborah McDonald. From Rockport.
No, yeah, she's literally from Rockport. So Deborah McDonald, I don't know what her real name is. She moved to India when she was a kid. She stayed there until she was 18. Her mom was very into, like, spiritualism. And so she fell into that whole thing too. And since then, her name has been Sadhari Khalsa. I assume she's extremely rich. Number one, because her family, like, lived abroad for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, white American people living in India for a really long time in, like, the 70s and 80s, they're probably rich, right? Okay.
Or just, like, very counterculture. Yeah, like you could,
if the mom is out here practicing yoga all day and the kid is, like, in school, the dad is definitely really, really rich.
Okay.
You know, the dad's making some money.
A definite guess. Yes.
Shades of colonialism in here. Okay. Mm-hmm. She was spotted with him.
This is when it gets really weird, though.
Last year at this benefit for the Conservatory of Music, the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music, thrown by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. She has a relationship to the Red Hot Chili Peppers because in the 90s or the early 2000s, she helped Anthony Kiedis through his addiction to heroin by pumping him up with ozone.
So there's an article that says, like, the substance that she injects, he says, the subject that she injects into my bloodstream is ozone, a wonderful smelling gas that has been used legally in Europe for years to treat everything from strokes to cancer. Yike. He wrote in his book, I immediately researched the topic and found an herbal regimen that would cleanse my liver and eradicate the hepatitis. He got hepatitis C from needle use, I think.
Needles, yes.
Yeah. And I don't think he cured himself with ozone. But the point is that this woman was the one who hung out with them and injected them with ozone, and they became really good friends. This was Flea brought her on the tour to do the ozone therapy. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that is the extent of the holistic healing, like, public record. But I assume that because Flea recommended her to Anthony, that, like, she's well known in, like, certain circles of, like, people in LA with a lot of money who want holistic stuff done. You know?
Right.
Call Sadhari Khalsa. She'll fill you up with ozone.
The way that Anthony Kiedis describes her in his book is really interesting. It says, she looks like a female version of Flea with the same gap-toothed smile, the same shape of face, the same color eyes, the same little pug nose. She's maternal and she's warm and she's loving. She's unassuming. A complete breath of fresh air and female energy. I didn't mean sexual energy, at least not for me. For me, she's like a sister and a mother and a caretaker and a nurse all in one.
So another way to read this is a lot like the, remember the woman Ben Affleck was dating, quote unquote dating, after Lindsay shook us and everyone was like, no, it's his fucking, like, sponsor.
Yeah.
It's someone who works at the rehab who's, like, there to, you know, support him and watch him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good chance that this woman who has been spotted publicly with Brad Pitt twice in the past 12, 13 months might just be some sort of, like, support system.
I mean,
and maybe he's getting ozone injections.
But also,
you know?
He's a spiritual guy. So
he's
it's just,
a spiritual guy.
It's
he's also struggling with addiction.
That, like, that he met her a year ago and now there are rumors, like, they just were seen again together. And
they were seen again. So
right.
First there were rumors in September after this Red Hot Chili Pepper thing, and it was like, they were just spotted at this event. There are just photos of them talking. He talked to a lot of people at this event. Everyone can chill. Then this month, they're literally on the cover of Us Weekly together, but not actually together. She's in a call-out photo. And it says, yes, I'm in love again. Meet the woman who saved Brad. After a secret romance with Charlize Theron, that didn't happen, ends. Brad Pitt falls in love with the girl next door. okay, who has this girl next door also? This girl is not next door to me. Is she next door to you?
No, absolutely not. Who's it's just weird to me.
Giving out ozone injections next door.
It's just weird to me that this is the cover of Us. Like, this feels like a very Star or, like, In Touch cover. And, like, here it is on the cover of Us Weekly. Yes, I'm in love. Meet the woman who saved Brad. Like, when it comes to Brad Pitt, do we just, like, lose our fucking minds? And everything he does is just like is a lie.
Yeah, and now he's having a bit of a renaissance because he might win an Oscar this year.
Right. I just feel like Us Weekly, which normally I'm not saying Us Weekly is like this journalistic pinnacle, but they usually try and not have stuff that's completely insane and photoshopped on their covers, which is like what a lot of the other magazines do.
And they didn't
from
Photoshop
people.
It here.
No, well, they didn't do anything. They just took a picture of him and they put a picture of her next to it.
If you told me that they were actually dating, I would believe you. But I feel like I'm leaning towards like she's really just acting as
like
a spiritual advisor slash life coach, like whatever.
It made sense that he was also dating the MIT professor, but I don't think that he was. We've been burned before, so we're a little bit sensitive, we're a little bit cynical. But I, you know, if you were like he's dating a spiritual guru, I'd be like, sure, totally amazing. But is he dating this spiritual guru?
If you told me he's dating the spiritual guru, I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess I can see it. But if you said, this woman is filling him up with ozone twice a day, I'd be like, absolutely, I believe it.
I believe that more. I believe that more.
I believe that a lot
and
more
also,
than an actual
dating.
And
also, E came out with a report that he wasn't dating her.
But you can't believe any of that. The thing is, like, if you can't believe one, you can't believe any of them.
I mean, it's funny because the person who said that he wasn't dating her, he saw them at, like, they went to a party together for Ad Astra. Like, they went out together. So yes. That does point to something else. At the Flix after party, quote, she was with another girlfriend. She was talking to Brad.
Exactly.
But at no point during the party did there appear to be an obvious PDA or any indication that they were romantic.
That's why I'm leaning towards
injections.
They're just
ozone
buds.
They're ozone buds. They just hang out. They do some ozone. Talk about some planets.
They do some O.
Ad Astra. She talks about, you know, whatever, spiritualism.
She's the only person who, like, gives him the real truth. She's like, you know what?
The blunt.
I didn't love Ad Astra.
It's
he's
boring.
Like, no, that's fine.
It's kind of boring. But what's weird is that her jewelry line is like 89% Jennifer Aniston worn.
I know. I'm glad you...
So weird.
Her jewelry line, which is whatever. It looks like everyone's jewelry line
these
days.
I know. It looks like something you
it's
just buy it like on the side of the road.
Thin,
yeah.
Long stuff, whatever. Her favorite client, you can tell, because it's the client that she uses more than any other celebrity who wears jewels in her Instagram feed by a power of like 12. There are so many Jennifer Aniston photos on her grid.
Jennifer Aniston wore this like a body chain. And I think mm-hmm. it was a big deal because it was so sexy.
And that outfit, like they were like best dressed list that year. Like everyone
was
obsessed with
them. Which also
makes
me think if this woman is so obsessed with Jennifer Aniston and that they're like family friends from them back from when Brad and Jen were together. They've known this woman for a long time. And like he just like is reconnecting with her as a friend.
It's just funny that Jennifer is still involved in some way.
She's the muse.
Imagine dating someone whose muse is your ex.
Sure.
Weird. Yeah. I guess it's actually not that troubling.
It's just weird, all the interconnection. Like, it would make perfect sense if they were dating. It would make perfect sense if they weren't. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Now we're going to play a game of who or them.
Dan Levy. Who or them? Crunch, crunch.
I feel like there was a cat screaming in the background.
Yeah.
Dan Levy, who are them? One, two, three.
Who?
Yeah, no,
but,
not yet.
But, you know, a lot of people love him. Maybe they see they know what he looks like and, you know.
Kelly Pickler. Good form, Bellator.
One, two, three. Who?
Country them.
Country them, sure.
But like,
I think broadly who,
definite
right?
Definite who. Yeah, I mean,
she has one of those names that I'm like, you. It's a famous name, but I always
but
forget
like,
what she is.
Can you name a Kelly Pickler song?
Put a knife to my throat,
right.
And I will not be able to
Same.
Name a word in a Kelly Pickler song.
Same. And you know country songs, and I know some. Like,
yeah.
The fact that we can't name like, one Kelly Pickler song. Is she from American Idol? Like, who even
yeah,
is she?
Yeah, she won American Idol, and then...
She won?
And then she, like, went at a country.
She won?
No, she finished in sixth place.
Yeah, I was like, she did not win.
The winners don't become successful. The runners up do.
Kelly Clarkson, who... Oh, my God. I saw a clip of Kelly Clarkson singing Walking on Broken Glass on her show, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I watched part of her show yesterday. It was one of the last segments. It was, like, a human interest segment, and I was like, I can't do this. She was introducing someone to someone who saved a life.
She sings her song, she interviews a friend, and then she talks about like dogs, you know, getting saved from shelters for like 45 minutes. And you're just like, which one of these things can we not do? But that's like part of the like Ellen vibe of it all. You know, it needs to have like a human interest.
The whole
piece.
Thing, down to the set, it's just the openness of the set, the like living roomy set, mm-hmm. it's so Ellen.
Yeah,
but it's going to be successful.
But Ellen doesn't sing Walking on Broken Glass in the beginning, and Kelly always sings a cover. She loves a cover. Oh, it's so good.
Is she going to run out of covers?
Never.
Is that one of those things?
Never. Never. What song would you like, if you weren't at the Kelly Clarkson show, what song would you want to hear Kelly Clarkson cover?
Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under?
Ooh, that would be so good.
Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under?
Oh my God, that would be so good. Another country song, that would be so good.
Yeah.
Whose bed have your boots?
Whose bed have your boots been under?
All right.
Or my favorite Shania Twain song. You know what my favorite Shania Twain song is? Number one Shania Twain, Never Will Be Beat.
What is it?
No One Needs to Know.
I know you like that song.
They don't normally have it at karaoke.
You know my favorite Kelly, my favorite Shania Twain song.
Which one?
The one that I always sing in karaoke. If You're Not In It for Love, I'm Out of Here. That one.
Oh yeah, which you didn't know until Vegas.
I know, I didn't know it, but I learned it, and I was like, "Fuck, this song is incredible." I would have her sing that song. She definitely
that song
knows
is
it.
That song is "Come On Over" is so fucking good.
So good.
Okay, so Sally Rooney probably knows Rooney Mara, but does Rooney Mara know who Sally Rooney is? Also, Sally Rooney, who are them? Okay, love you. Me and Green. Bye.
Sally Rooney, who are them? 1, 2, 3.
Who?
Who? Literary them, I guess.
Right.
Just because like, she's trendy right now.
We really keep on like doing, these are like little cop outs, like country them. Like, I almost feel like it's a cop out to be like Sally Rooney.
Well,
she's like
a
book them.
She's a who? Then let's not even say what she is in her niche. She's a, everyone's a them to
Who's
somebody.
Who's a book them? Like Stephen King? That's it. like God who wrote the Bible? Like Oprah, book them.
Like mystery writers, you know?
Agatha Christie.
Dean Koontz. You know, John Grisham.
That's true. Those
you know
are
what
them.
Saying?
No, totally, totally. Sally Rooney's still a who in that world. Also, does Sally Rooney know who Rooney Mara is, or does Rooney Mara know who Sally Rooney is? They both know who each other are 100%.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, first time. I've been home from work sick, and I somehow managed to watch 3 rom-coms where Paula Patton plays essentially the same evil hot girl, and I guess I was just wondering, Paula Patton, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
Paula Patton really doesn't have much range.
No.
No offense to Paula Patton. She
she's
is
great
one
at what
of my
she,
favorite.
She's great at what she does.
She's got a talent, and she should stick to that talent. Paula Patton, who are them? 1, 2, 3,
who?
Who?
Total who. But like when she went through like a bunch of drama with Robin Thicke, and
with
she
Robin.
Was like had some like, there was some them-y celebrity stuff going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise.
And then she like kind of had a breakdown and like cut all of her hair off and then was kind of going nuts. And now I think she's
I loved her rom-com
down.
About being a flight attendant or whatever.
No, you didn't. It's not even a good rom-com.
I loved it though.
It's
I told you
terrible.
I liked it. I liked it.
What was it called? Baggage Claim?
I loved it. I told
Awful.
You I loved it.
She is, however, in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which is like my second favorite Mission Impossible. So good for her.
I'll be like,
next
oh,
one.
The rom-com's bad, but she's in my second favorite Mission Impossible. Okay, like, whatever. Get over it.
Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. I was just doing some research on Greta Thunberg, climate activist, famous teen from Sweden. And I knew that she had come to the U.S. on an emissions-free sailboat. But I was just like looking at her Instagram, trying to learn more about that. And I saw, to my huge surprise, that the person who actually skippered her boat, like, and literally sailed her across the Atlantic, is Pierre Casiraghi, U.S. Who, Royals of Monaco, them, a.k.a. Princess Grace Kelly's grandson. And I just thought that was so crazy and weird and interesting that a literal handsome prince sailed this climate change activist across the ocean related to Grace Kelly. All right, me and Grace. Bye.
Pretty sure that's Kiara. Hi, Kiara.
Hi, Kiara.
Another fun fact about Greta is that her mom competed in Eurovision in quite a few years ago. Did you know that?
What was the song? Let's play it here.
I don't know. I didn't look it up, but she did. Somebody called in and told us that she
okay, let's play the song. I want to hear this one.
I'm forever yours.
That's amazing. Her name is Malena Ernman, in case you're mm-hmm. wondering. And she performed in Eurovision. And I think she came in, did not come in first place.
She didn't win.
She didn't win. It's fine.
She didn't win. She could have and she should have because that was great.
Yes.
What more could you want from a Eurovision song?
Exactly. Because
you had your techno, you had your opera, which is just like mixing genres and showing off your voice. Mm-hmm. And that light show. Look at that light show.
And her father is a Swedish like playwright, an actor. So she comes from a super artist family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know a ton about her origin. I think she is a them right now, for sure.
Greta?
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby, medium time, long time. I'm watching the Emmys and I'm wondering, is Tim Allen a who or a them in the year 2019? Okay, crunch, crunch. Sorry to this man.
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, who or them? One, two, three, them.
Them. Yeah.
Who cares? He's a
but
them.
Like not Home for long, I feel like. But also the Santa Claus, which makes it like, I feel like even if you kids did obviously don't watch Home Improvement, they've all seen the Santa Claus because like it's one of those movies that just comes out every year and people watch it.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Medium time. I'm sure you're getting lots of calls about this, but I just like need you to talk about Billy Porter and the Emmys and how fabulous he looked in his acceptance speech, but also, like, I'm just wondering if Billy Porter has crossed over into, like, general themness yet, or, like, did it happen at the Oscars when he wore that gorgeous dress, or, like, I mean, I know he's been, like, a gay them and a Broadway them for a minute, but, like, what about general theminess? So, thank you. Good form, Bella Thorne. Garjo, yummy pop. Me and Grease, bye.
There's so many. Okay, Billy Porter, one, two, three.
Who?
Them?
Wow.
You still think?
She convinced you? The real thing that kind of gets me on this is that nobody watches those shows, so like, it's hard for me to be like, he won an Emmy, but no one watched that.
I think I would still be on the, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I think is still a who, despite the wins. I think Billy, because he has so much behind him, there's so much Billy Porter. There are decades of Billy Porter being around.
Just like stuff that he's done that you can see. Yeah.
And he's had so much exposure over the past year. And he's been in like very critically successful stuff. But also like his award show stuff, just his red carpet thing. He's making so many headlines. People are like, oh, that guy.
That's true.
I think he's now Billy Porter.
That's true. Like his Met Ball.
I think he's transcended that guy.
His Met Ball stuff was like super newsy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still
I think he's
of,
a them. I don't know.
I still feel who.
Okay.
Gotta go with my gut, you know?
But like, remember when we were watching The First Wives Club and we were like, who sings this montage song that's like, love is on the way.
And it was Billy Porter.
That
was the best, actually. That was incredible that he sang Love is on the Way. That is such a good song.
Come on, that's huge.
That's true.
And with that, we are done. Thank you for listening to Who's There. Oh my God, I think this is the longest we've ever recorded. Or maybe not. It's close. Thank you for listening. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for bi-weekly episodes, every other week episodes, don't even get me started, and a weekly newsletter. We love all of our supporters. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Buy tickets to our next live shows in Brooklyn, November 23rd.
One is sold out, but the late night still has tickets.
Oh,
come
yeah,
see
so
us late night.
Fun. We're going to love it. You're going to love it. And with that, we're done. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Tuesday.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hi there. Medium time, first time. I just wanted to call and let you guys know that I'm on shift at my restaurant right now, and Freddie Highmore came in. He's sitting in the corner. he asked for a cheddar burger and specifically a large glass of milk with ice to have right when the burger comes. Anyways, I thought you guys should know that. He's kind of nice. All right, me and Grace.